All right, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke tonight, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and we're going to be looking at verses 26 through 39. Just a couple of things to share. I was talking to Rhys during the week, and he asked to be remembered to everybody in the church and pass on his love for everybody. So from Rhys, hi. And then just at the prison on Friday night, it was a blessing just before we got into the Word of God. One of the men, he's a Chinese man, and he said, "I just want to share a blessing." I said, "Sure." He said, "Yesterday I had to do a urine test." And he said, so they took me in, and there's a couple of waters there. And he said, "Nothing was happening." And he said, as time went, it was getting more difficult. Nothing was happening. And he said, after 40 minutes, he said, "They're looking at me and like, you know, what's going on here?" And he said, "I suddenly remembered, oh, my Heavenly Father." And he said, I get the exact words, but, "Father, please help me. I need help." He said, "Problem solved straight away." I said, "Amen. Praise the Lord. How good's that?" And I said, "Well, the Lord does say about prayer, pray about everything, doesn't he? Amen." It was a blessing. Oh, my. It was worth going just for that. All right. Luke chapter 8, verse 26 through verse 39. So I'll start reading in verse 26. If you can read the odd numbers, I'll read the even numbers tonight. So starting there in verse 26. "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.' And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying,
'Turn into thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee.' And he went his way, and I was straight out of the whole city, and how great things Jesus hath done unto
him." Amen. I don't know about you, but it's a passage of the scriptures I really love. It really is. I wouldn't like to say it's perhaps my favourite, but I certainly love this passage, and I trust the Lord will bless us tonight as we look at it. But let's pray and ask him to do that. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you and bless you for this time tonight. Thank you for the privilege of singing your praises and singing of thy great salvation. And Father, I pray now that you would, Lord, just enlighten us. May the Spirit of God quicken us and give us eyes to see, ears to hear that which you'd have for us tonight. Lord, it's a wonderful passage in your word, a wonderful work that the Lord Jesus did in the man's life. And Father, may you be glorified and magnified as a result of our looking into this passage. And we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. It's also mentioned in Matthew chapter 8 and Mark chapter 5. And we'll be making some references to those passages in a moment. But here in verse 26 and 27, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. When he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs." Remember, they've come across the sea or the lake there, and the Lord's spoken and quietened all the storm and the wind and everything. And now they get across to this country, the Gadarenes. So have a look in Matthew, keep your hand there, but Matthew chapter 8, and see what Matthew says just in a particular facet of this in verse 20. And it says, "And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils." Notice it says here two. The other two accounts say one. There's no conflict, just the other two focused on one particular man. "There met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way." So notice he was exceeding fierce. Then have a look in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And see how Mark puts it in verse 1. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he'd been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." I mean, here's a tragic situation, isn't it, when you think about it? I mean, this talk about having problems, but one of the things it does, it highlights that the mess that a devil can make of a person's life, amen? Yeah. Oh my, he's a very extreme case, but I could take you out there tonight and take you to some guys' homes who I go and visit from time to time. They'd measure up pretty much with this fellow. The difference is they haven't yet come to know the Lord. But Satan really does a number on people, doesn't he? And it's just, one of those situations that was quite unique in one sense. But it says there Mark chapter 5, where in verse 4 he says, "Because that he'd been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." As they were trying to restrain him, they couldn't do it. I mean, these demons, these devils had given him incredible strength. And they put chains on him. They tried all sorts of things to control him, but he was uncontrollable. He was all the problems that he had there. He was naked. He was all those things, tormented, on and on, the suffering he went through. It's interesting what a fellow called Lockyer said about demons and demon possession, that sort of thing. He said, "Demons were former angelic beings who were expelled from heaven with their master, the devil. What actually happens in demon possession," he says, "is the invasion of the human personality by these denizens of hell. It's an intrusion into the physical and psychical domains with consequent discord and disharmony." Probably a good definition, demon possession. And today, in our country and many countries today, I think more and more we're going to see that sort of thing. Because the further you get from God, the more the devil has to do and say. You go back, because people say, how come it was, you know, so many demons back then? Because Israel had turned their back on God. Israel were doing their own thing. Guess what? That opens up the way for the devil. You know, our nation started with some Christian heritage, but today we're a long way from that. And more we're seeing this kind of demonic activity. More and more. We can expect that to happen. I couldn't take you to a whole lot of people who I'd be conversating, they've got demon possessed, but I think I know one or two. If they're not, they're close to it. We're living in a day and age when more and more of this demonic activity is going to go on. And you just think about it. What's out there? One of the things that helps promote it, rock music. That's demonic. Guaranteed. That'll help promote it. You go and look at the testimonies of the people who are promoting it and doing the singing or making the noise. It's demonic. Now you think about the drug situation. We all know about that. That's demonic. It's tied to demonic activity, drugs, the pharmakia word in the book of Revelation. It ties it all together. And so more and more, guess what? More and more there's going to be all these problems out there in the world around us. More and more we're going to find maniacs out there that need the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
They're out there. Don't worry about that. One thing just to note, of course, believers can't be possessed of the devil. Thank God for that. After four messages at our recent camp, we know the devil can give you a hard time. The devil's very keen to do all he can to hinder, to upset, to distract, to even destroy, if he can, our testimony. We know that, but he can't possess us. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in us. We've been bought with a price. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God says, you can't come in here. This is my territory now. Now, you can come and have a go, but you can't come in. And notice he goes on there and says, this man, he'd had these devils a long time. This is something just new. He's been like this a long time. You can only imagine what he must have been going through. You can only imagine what he was going through. He's going around naked. Nowhere to live, living up there, we'd say, in the cemetery, up amongst all the tombs. Just a terrible, terrible state that he was in. But notice there in verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. It's interesting, isn't it, when you think about that. The devils know who the Lord Jesus is. They know who he is. On more than one occasion we find that, don't we? And here's very clear. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? They know who he is. The devil knows who the Lord Jesus is. He does his best to convince people that the Lord Jesus isn't the Son of God. We know that. But they know who he is. And there in verse 29 it says, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man." Now keep your hand there again. Go back to Matthew 8. And in verse 32, Matthew says, "He said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine." So there was just one word Matthew records there. The Lord said, "Go," to these unclean spirits. And then in Mark, he says this, in Mark chapter 5 and verse 8, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." So you put all that together, and the Lord says, "Listen, you unclean spirit, come out and go. Get out of this fellow." He commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. And it's similar to the previous situation out on there in the water, wasn't it? When the wind and the waves and everything else. And the Lord just spoke and rebuked and said, "Just be still. Be still." And we're reminded of the power of the Lord's word.
Amen.
The power of the Lord's word.
Amen.
What does the book of Hebrews tell us in chapter 4 and verse 12? "For the word of God is quick and powerful." The word of God is quick, that means living. It's powerful. "Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirits and the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word of God is powerful. being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's a living word, and it's powerful. And for you and I, how do we get victory in our life? Well, through the power of the word of God and the spirit of God. You compare that with the world's ways of doing things. We need to put chains on this fella. We need to put fetters on him. We need to isolate him. We need to do all this. Did it help? Not at all. Not even slightly. Not even slightly. And today we have the same sort of thing. We've got all these programs. We need, you know, you see the politicians and some of the local fellows and that, they're approaching the government to provide more money for doing this and doing that and doing something else. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of money. All it is a band-aid job that the world does. To be seen to doing something to help all these poor people ain't going to help. For some it might bring some comfort, some little bit of relief. But they need the Lord. And the Lord's not going to deal with the outside, the Lord's going to deal with the inside. The problem is he's got a demon in him, and demon needs to get out so that he can be sane in his right mind again. Amen? And how's he going to do that? By power of the word. By speaking. The Lord, again, he deals with the heart problem. It's amazing. It's amazing. You say, I don't know a whole lot. You don't have to. Share the word of God with them. Share some scriptures with them. The Lord will take that. Don't worry. You know what it's like sometimes? You're talking to people and you start talking about a verse and they're all friendly all of a sudden. What's happened? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, has gone bang. I remember many years ago, just a young Christian actually, and this guy was right in my face about something. It was at church at the time, and way, way back in Northside days, and this young guy is right in my face, and he's going this, and he's saying this, and saying something else. And the Lord gave me a verse. I just came out, you know, and he sort of looked at me. Man, there is power in the word after all. I mean, that was pretty extreme in some ways, but it makes the point, doesn't it? Where's the power? Not in us. It's the word of God where the power is. It's a living word. It's powerful. Amen? Let's not forget, if we go away with nothing else tonight, let's be encouraged. Lord, help me to share the word with people. Help me to share the word with people. And then you do what you do with the word. Amen. Oh my. They see, don't they, the Lord's great ability here and his great authority. Remember what the Lord said not long before going back to heaven in Matthew 28:18. He said, all power, all authority is given unto me both in heaven and in earth. What he's saying is, all I got to do is speak. It'll be done. I have all power, all authority. And so he commands these unclean spirits to come out of the man. Well, see what happens in verse 30. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? As if he doesn't know. He knows all things. And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. Legion. You know, Legion back in those days was anything up to about 6,000 soldiers in the Roman army. I'm not going to say tonight dogmatically he had 6,000 demons in him, but he had quite a few. You think, how'd they fit in there? I don't know. Let the Lord worry about that one. But the fact is, he had all these demons, or devils, we would call them, within him. We don't know how many, but there was a lot there. And notice, they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. It's interesting, they know that if the Lord speaks, they need to obey. I wonder, as Christians, when the Lord speaks, do we not? Yeah, I need to obey that. God's spoken. That's God's word. I need to obey that. Well, Legion, because many devils were entered into him, they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, one thing we know also about the demons or the devils, not only do they believe who the Lord Jesus is, but they believe in hell. They know about hell. To go out into the deep. What's the deep? We have a look in Matthew 8:29 just to see how Matthew puts it. Matthew 8:29. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Oh, what do you mean? We know what's going to happen one day. We're going to be cast into hell and tormented forever. You going to start doing that now? Have you come to torment us before the time? They knew, didn't they? The Lord Jesus could say in Matthew 25:41, he says, to go where? To hell. What's that? A place prepared for the devil and his angels. They know about that. They're aware of that. Don't let us go out into the deep. Don't command us to go out into the deep. It's interesting when you look into the book of Revelation, seven times it talks about, using the same word, the bottomless pit or the abyss. The bottomless pit. Where's Satan going to go for 1,000 years? Bottomless pit, out into the deep. That's where he's going to go. They know about these things. I say this ever so carefully. It'd be good if we all had the same knowledge of the word of God as some of these demons had. They know all about it. They're not ignorant of what the scriptures have to say. And so we find there, again, in the book of Revelation, numbers of times where God says that's where they're going, that bottomless pit, that, and ultimately to the lake of fire. Ultimately, that's where they'll finish, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's where they'll go. And then verse 32, he says, "And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them." Here's this great herd of swine or pigs, and you read the other account, talks about 2,000 or so. And they said, "Look, we don't want to go out to the deep. Would it be all right if we could go into those pigs over there?" And he suffered them. It's okay. Now, he didn't command them to do that. Because I was read a couple of accounts, and sometimes people raise it, "Well, that wasn't very nice of Jesus to let those demons, tell those demons to go in there, and then they lost all their pigs." Well, he didn't tell them to go there. They said, "Can we go?" He said, "If you want to, you can go there." It's a little bit different to tell them. He didn't command them. It's just an incidental point. But then they went out of the man, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. And the word "fled" has this idea. They were seeking safety by heading out. Said, "We need to get out of here." Why? What's the problem? This man's all fixed up. Just a few pigs ran in the water. What's wrong with that? They said, "We need to get out of here." And they fled. They went and told it in the city and in the country. Interesting, isn't it? And notice verse 35, "Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid." And I say, amen and amen, amen. Oh my, how good is that? How good is that? First of all, notice he's sitting. He's finally at rest. All those years, that long time, possessed of demons and devils, the Lord says, "Get out," and now he's sitting, he's at rest. Wonderful thing about salvation, isn't it? Remember the night I got saved, I was at rest. So what happened? I don't know. I just knew I was at rest. I knew I was at rest. After nearly 33 years of wondering, what's this all about? I was at rest. Amen. And so this man, he was at rest. He was sitting. Notice where he was sitting. Notice where he was sitting. At the feet of Jesus. He has this amazing now respect and reverence and fear of the Lord, doesn't he? It's what happens when you get saved. You know, before you get saved, you use the Lord's name all the time. I was very good at that. I'd say that proudly. When I got saved and I heard people use the Lord's name, it's like, ooh, that's not good. That's no good. Up until then, yeah, everybody does it. What's wrong with that? Why? Because now we have great respect for the Lord, don't we? Now we understand who he is. He's the Son of God. He deserves our reverential fear and respect. He's the Son of God. Now, the devils knew that, but they didn't want to bow to him. But this man, having been delivered, he's now at the feet of the Lord Jesus. You think about Mary. What happens when Martha was complaining? Now, here I am, Lord, can you just talk to my sister Mary? You know, I'm out here busy doing all this cooking. Where was Mary? Sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. It's a good place to sit. And just get in the Word and sit down there with the Lord. Say, Lord, could you just speak to me? Show me some things out of your Word. That'd be good. Lord, I know your Word is quick and powerful. And Lord, as the psalm writer said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, can we just have a little fellowship today? Amen. Just sit at the feet of the Lord. He's happy for that. And then not only that, he was clothed. He was clothed. So what's important about that? It's pretty important. He was running around naked before. He's running around naked. Why? Because that's what you do. You go out in these heathen lands, what do? Most of them run around naked. Why? Because God's not in their plan. Not the God of the Bible anyway. It's interesting, when people get saved, they're starting to dress different. Ever notice that? Come on. If they don't, they're not saved. You say, you're judging. No, I just made a comment. You know, if there was... Yeah, I better be careful. You know what I'm saying. When you get saved, things change, amen? Including your clothing. Oh, my. Yeah, we could ask ourselves a question this way, maybe. Does my clothing reflect the fact that I'm now saved? Yes. That'd be a good question, wouldn't it? Anyway, he was clothed and in his right mind. How good's that? In his right mind. Going from crazy and just under torment and all sorts of pressures and heartaches and difficulties, and now he's sitting, here he is at the feet of the Lord, clothed in his right mind. How wonderful is that? What a picture of salvation, isn't it? That's why I guess I love this passage. It speaks so clearly about what happens when you get saved. Oh, my. He was in his right mind. Sin and Satan will do what? Send people mad. That's what happens. They're going crazy. Try the mental institution. See how many people they got there. Try the mental health medical system. It is multi-billion today. Multi-billion. At one time there were 4 known mental illnesses. Now there's over 400. And guess what? They all have medication that will help them. Isn't that coincidence? And so you're talking about $45 billion industry. Maybe coincidence, maybe not. No, I'm being a bit facetious, I know. But you get right with God, you're not going to need all that stuff, amen? Right. Amen. Why? Because you'll be in your right mind. You're in your right mind now. I don't need all that anymore. Well, verse 36, they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. So they told him how it all happened. So we need to tell you what happened. This fellow Jesus came along and this guy comes running down and bows down there before him and calls him the Son of God, and he just said, get out of him. Off they went. Pretty simple story. Well, what happened there? Verse 37, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him, that means they begged him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. Isn't that unusual? Maybe. What's the problem? great fear. Notice in verse 35, the last bit, they were afraid. Great fear. Why would they? They were previously afraid of the maniac. Now they're afraid of the healer of the maniac. You'll find that. You get saved, you want to talk to people, see you later, I'm out of here. It's all right for you, happy for you, bye, catch you. What are you afraid of? It's what happens, isn't it? It's what happens. But it's interesting, isn't it? They besought him and he went up into the ship and returned back again. It's like, well, okay, see you. You don't want me around? Yeah. One of the things we find, God's not quite like us. God doesn't get your arm and twist it up behind your back and smack you one and say, give in or else I'll hit you again. We'd like to do that. I've tried to find verses you can do something like that. There's none there. Other than I've shared before, when Joshua had those five kings, they put them in the cave there. And then, this is digressing, but then when they'd finished all their fighting, they came back, pulled the stones and said, bring them out. So they bring them out. He said, now here, you elders, put your feet on their necks, okay? I've probably taken that verse a little bit out of context, but it does say that. That's what it says. I haven't tried it yet, but sometimes you feel like it. But what's happening? The Lord is not going to twist their arm. He's told them the truth. They've seen the miracle. What more do they need? They don't want him around? Okay, bye-bye. And notice, though, he didn't reject the man, though. He didn't reject the man. In fact, he gave him a great privilege, didn't he? This man, of whom, verse 38, the devils were departed, besought him that he might be with him. You could imagine that, couldn't you? Lord, wherever you go, I'm going to stay right with you. Oh my, after all these years of strife and trouble and torment, I'm just going to be right with you. The Lord says, no, I want you to go away. Now, it wasn't rejecting him, was he? He was actually giving him a great privilege. A great privilege. Why? Because he said, return to thine house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. So what I want you to do, I want you to go home and I want you to tell them what's happened. Now that's really, you know, when it comes to sharing our testimony, that's really all that's required, isn't it? Just tell them what happened. Well, what happened? Well, this is what happened. I was sitting in church, heard the message, or I read a tract, or whatever it is. That's what happened. People can't dispute that. They can laugh and mock and scoff, but they can't dispute that. That God uses our testimony, when we read what happened, he went his way, published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. He said, see you later, I'm getting out. Then, all right, Lord, that's what you want me to do? He said, I want you to start at home and then just go out from there. All those people knew him, didn't they? What a powerful testimony that would have been. Just go home and tell them how great God is, and that God has had compassion upon you, which is what he says there in Mark chapter 5. Tell them how great things God has done for you and had compassion on you. Go and tell them what a compassionate God we serve. What a merciful God. A God who is all-powerful, who is able merely to speak, and the demons and devils obey him. Merely to speak the word and totally transform a person's life. Amen? Just go home and tell them. Just go home and tell them. That's all you've got to do. I want to stay with you. It's not that I don't want you, but I want you to go home and tell them what I've done. Just go tell them. And that's what he did. That's what he did. Just a couple of closing thoughts. Firstly, this story, in my mind, my heart, magnifies how great God is and how great his salvation is. That God can take someone like that and turn them around. And now they're clothed in their right mind and sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and then out witnessing for him, sharing the wonderful things that God's done. Oh my. You say, well, I was never that bad, so I don't have that testimony. Thank God you weren't that bad, amen? Thank God that you weren't that bad. Share what God has kept you from. When I look around the world today and I see all the problems there and all the heartache, thank God he spared me from that, amen? And when I look around all these dope heads and everything else out there, thank God he spared me from all that, amen? You can have a powerful testimony for the Lord. Say, thank you, Lord, for all that you have spared me from. Thank you, Lord. And share that with other people. So you're one of these Christians. Yeah, I'm one of those Christians. And you know what I want to tell you? Thank God he spared me from being a dope head. Thank God he spared me from on and on and on the list goes. Amen? Oh, my. I think that's a powerful testimony myself. Well, I wasn't that bad. I don't relate. Thank God you can't relate to him, amen. Thank God you can't, and then get out and tell people what he's done for you and saved you. Well, I've only got a very simple testimony. Good, tell them what it is. That's all you got to do. Just tell them. And again, just in closing, there's none too hard. There's none too hard for the Lord. There's none too hard, amen. You say, why do you keep visiting some of the people? And they ask me, You don't give up, do you? I said, no. Because God never gave up on me. You say, what if they don't get saved? That's between them and God. But there's none too hard. None too hard. Let's pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight and this opportunity and privilege to look into your word and this particular event, incident in the life of the Lord. And truly, Lord, it is a wonderful, wonderful story, a wonderful testimony of our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, merely speaking, all power, all authority belonged to him. And the demons obeyed. The devils obeyed. And the man enjoyed the fruit of all that. Now he's clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. He's finally at rest. He has peace of mind. He has a new purpose, a new joy in life. And now wanting to be with the Lord Jesus, and yet given the great commission to go back to his home and to all those around him to share what great things the Lord had done and had compassion on him. And he went and did it. He went and did it. Father, the truths are very simple, Lord. May we not forget that. Let's not complicate things, but Lord, help us to keep it simple. And for those, Lord, who would never be able to relate to the maniac's life, may they thank God for that. Thank God that they don't have the memories. Thank God they don't have the scars that that sort of a life can lead and leave. But Lord, thank God, and then get out and tell others the simplicity of the gospel message, that Christ died for sinners and was buried and raised again, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Father, I thank you again too, that there's none too hard, none. And so we praise you and bless you in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.